It is time for another edition of What's Going On Out There, Ruth, with Ruth Epstein, our roving, rambling, adventurous, intrepid reporter. Ruth, what's going on out there?
Let's start this holiday week with an interesting meeting with the registrars of voters. The Litchfield County group met last week in Sharon, hosted by the two registrars who gave them a nice hearty meal of soup and sandwiches, and then they got down to business. Main topic of discussion, of course, was the past election, and the main objection, to no surprise, were the early voting days. Head of ROVAC, which is the Registrar of Voters Association of Connecticut, was the guest speaker, and Barbara Crouch, and she went over analyzing the municipal election, and the main concern from most of the people in the room was the length of the early voting days and how few people turned out, and the expense of it. And there were also questions about the new machines. For those of you who voted, you saw there were new tabulators. They were installed throughout the whole state. Everybody had to use them. And there were some questions and concerns, and as with any new technology, but some of the small towns really, the registrar from Warren gave a really thorough report in which he expressed his concerns, writing to his congresspeople, and gave some really interesting statistics. Just for an example, for a small town, there were a total of 558 ballots cast, and the cost per vote for early voting was $7,440, resulting in a per voter cost of $38.35. Interesting statistic. We know that there were a lot of days where these registrars were just sitting there because people weren't coming. Colebrook, the gal, raised her hand and said, we had the lowest number in the state, 43 people for early voting, and that was 14 days of it. So yeah. Their push is to have at least bring it down to 10 and maybe 7 days. And so it was a very interesting meeting.
Was the head of ROVAC who was there, did they talk at all about the possibility of, instead of early voting, opening up so that absentee ballots are not so restrictive?
They talked about the next thing on the agenda, I guess, is no excuse absentee ballots.
Yeah, there you go. Yep.
Yeah. And what they said is that's going to be discussed, as there's nothing definitive yet on that. But that was one of the topics. Yeah,
I imagine, I'm joking, but maybe they were listening to us, our on-the-spot reporting in Sharon with the number of voters. So was that 20? That was that number, the $23 or whatever per voter from early voting?
Yes.
Aggregate?
That was 37, I think.
$38. Operating 14 days. This is what the Warren fellow said. Operating 14 days of early voting cost Warren $7,440, resulting in a per voter cost of $38.35 for each early voting ballot.
So basically $40.
Right.
$40 a ballot. And that was just for Warren, right?
That was just Warren.
Okay,
but
so Colebrook
I'm sure
is going to be more.
I would imagine a lot of these would be comparable in other towns.
Yeah, yeah, but if the lowest turnout for 14 days,
yeah,
you know.
So, yeah.
Well, I don't
let's just play math class here. It's fair to say that they will be around that. And as you indicated, Mike, it's pretty obvious. It was with just regular eyes. It was pretty clear that it's not been a barn burner. What I am struck by, though, and this is me, and I apologize in advance for anyone that this offends, is they want to knock it down to 7 days. Like, why not?
Well, your best option is the no excuse absentee. I think that's going to be your smoother, more, because you're required to have a certain amount of people, registrars and stuff, when you're voting. So it doesn't matter whether it's the full election day or the other day. You're spending all this money. And last I knew, when I was working in the registrar's office a number of years back, I don't think all the towns pay the same rates to the people that work there. And I may be wrong on that, but I've never heard of there being standardized rates. Because I know a lot of people would complain because some towns would pay very, very low rates, and other towns would pay something that was more of the market.
Yeah, I don't think there is a, you know, one price fits all. I think that registrars can, I don't know. That's
well, as
a good
I say,
question.
When I was in there, it was that way. And if it still is that way, that means you can have some serious variations on the cost of these 14 days of pre-voting, I guess.
As one woman said, she said people came in and said, oh, thank you so much for volunteering. And she said, we're all getting paid. People had no idea.
That's
she
right,
thought they were just being volunteers. So they had, nobody realizes
the cost. Sorry for the cackle on Thanksgiving week, but
that, that ended years ago. Everybody's getting paid. Because in an election day, it's really a long, long day, regardless of whether you're busy or not, because of the requirements of who has to be where, when, and how. And for some people, it's an extremely long day to have to go through. But everybody gets paid.
Yes, absolutely. You ask about the 7 day. You know, they realize they'd like it lower, but, you know, you ask for a little bit at a time. So that's why they'd love to have it even fewer days. But, yes, and then the no excuse absent. This gentleman again wrote, the state's upcoming implementation of no excuse absentee ballots will further expand voting access. And with this new option available in future elections, a shorter early voting period will continue to provide voters with ample opportunity to cast a ballot while reducing the staffing and financial burden on small towns. So, interesting concept, the whole thing. And we'll see where this goes.
Indeed.
You know, this all comes through the Secretary of State's office.
This year that we're coming up to is the statewide races are all on the ballot. And then, of course, Congress, the entire House, and then one-third of the U.S. Senate as well.
Right.
So it's a much larger deal.
Yeah. Municipal elections, most notably. I mean, if you get, as we said, you know, 50% of the vote, you're really doing well, which is really unfortunate.
And then, Mike, have we, what was her name, Wanda, the ballot stuffer? I mean, was there any disposition? Because this is another thing that I apparently people are too distracted to focus on, but that who is that lady in Bridgeport?
In Bridgeport, who stuffed the ballots?
Yeah. And then took the fifth or something? Said it didn't happen?
I thought she got into trouble.
I didn't really follow that to its end.
I didn't either. I know she did.
But she was red-handed caught.
You know, voting, but we didn't follow that, and it was on the news, which I understand completely. But what I'm saying is people have become so inured to, it's like, oh, yeah, that they don't even realize it. And I used to annoy Marshall intensely by saying this, and probably I will annoy you too, Mike. But I say that this goes back to the days of American Idol, where you could sit and vote as many times as you wanted. And slowly, an entire generation didn't realize, you know, lost the concept of one person, one vote. And that is my
Okay.
That is my statement.
I don't think that was an issue here. They were just...
That's reserved for the bigger elections.
I mean, this...
I don't think anybody wants to stuff ballots on a municipal. Well,
no,
maybe in Hartford or Bridgeport.
Right.
I don't think they, you know, there's any issue with the legalities here. It's just a waste of money and...
Oh, I'm not talking about this at all. I'm talking moving to statewide. That reminded me of Wanda the Ballot Stuffer, if that's even her name, and I apologize if it is not.
Yeah.
But
About the only things you ever have in the small towns are when I saw when I was working elections, sometimes people violating the 75-foot rule with a bumper sticker or something, and maybe an occasional complaint about the ballot, or, you know, you have your spoiled ballots, so you have to go through that. But rarely was there ever anything that I ever saw in the small towns that was really significant of anything. It was just...
Well, that brings us back to this recount in Canaan. I mean, the fact that, you know, everything was done so precisely.
Right.
And that, you know, even the one vote off, but still, I mean, those registrars know exactly how to handle things, and there is nothing untoward, so...
All right. So well then, guys, we got to find some other stuff here because we're quickly approaching the tail end of this.
Thanksgiving week for those who would like to, who either don't have anyone to have a dinner with or would like to just socialize. The Canaan does a community Thanksgiving dinner on Thursday from noon to 2 at the Pilgrim House on Granite Avenue. It is a great, I've been up there covering it for years. It's a wonderful socialization for folks who, as I say, are either alone or just, you know, some come just to be with friends and then go home and have another dinner. But all donated, everything is free, soup to nuts, and generally Paul Ramuni plays his accordion. I don't know if he's doing that this year, but those people work very hard, not only just gathering it all, but serving. They do a takeout. They deliver to folks who can't get there. It's really very a wonderful community event, and I would encourage people, everybody is welcome. So that's from noon to 2 on Thursday. On Friday, down here in Kent, the Kent Chamber of Commerce, has reinstituted its Sip, Sparkle, and Stroll Walk from 4 to 8. You can come and walk the streets, stop at each of the little shops. It's going to be all lit up and sparkly, and stop and get your little bubbly at each one. And it brings out loads of people, and it sort of kicks off the holiday season.
They should give them a punch card before they get bubbly so they make sure they don't do too much.
Yeah, well, that was a concern, but they only give a very small amount.
They dribble it out, really.
Yeah, so Kent will be hopping on Friday, and then we get back into next week when meetings start again. But this is a slow week for meetings. Everybody's concentrating on turkeys. So, and we should mention that Sunday in the Country, once again, is giving out, you know, meals to all these food banks. It's an incredible thing that NASCAR Dave started and Bob Chatfield, and so they have been raising money, and turkeys and all the fixings are going to all these food banks. So
good job to everybody. And
the holiday season is, I mean, people are generous all year round, but this is when it really comes to the fore. So no reason for anybody to go hungry this Thanksgiving here in this Northwest corner.
And what, just back to elections in small towns and community dinners in small, you know, this is the reason that a lot of us live here. Just because it's, let's call it community-based. That's the best I can say.
The Sunday in the Country meals, how are they distributed exactly, just so people know?
I thought through food banks.
Through food banks, The food banks are contacted, or however it works, and they're given a told how many they feel they'll need,
uh-huh.
and then I believe the food bank people pick them up. And it used to be a distribution point. I'm not sure. I haven't been involved lately, but I don't think they deliver. I think you go and get it.
You go and get it. Do you have to put in a reservation to get one, or do
through the food bank, and I think they sign up. If you're a food bank attendee, I think they ask you, "Would you like one?" and then they calculate how many they need, and that's how it goes.
All right.
I do believe. But again, all free, and people are struggling now nowadays more than in the past, so this is a wonderful thing. Yeah. And the food banks are, in general, are very, very helpful. So, and that's where we're at.
Well, remember,
I hope
this
you
is...
all have a lovely Thanksgiving.
And you too. And
I'm cooking. I do a strange thing. From my mother was on the subway probably 70 years ago, and she overheard somebody telling them how they cook their turkey in a brown bag, and in 2 hours it's done. So I have been doing that for forever. That's all I know how to do.
A brown bag? Is this a special brown bag?
No, a shopping bag.
Really?
A shopping bag.
In the oven.
450 degrees for 2 hours, and it's done.
Keep your fire extinguisher close by.
Yeah. We've had a couple of...
The one that gets me is the people who deep fry them.
Yeah.
Because I've had some of that, and it's just, to me, it's disgusting, and it's dangerous beyond belief.
I can't imagine a fried...
And when you add deep fry, you know, I a few years ago, more like decades, but you know, it was a New York Times thing, and you got smoke alarms going. You got people trying to deep fry their turkeys in very small apartments in buildings. You know, who thought of that?
Well, and even the people that put it on their back porch or deck, you know, you need to get it away from the house.
Yeah.
And I get
But, well, there's all ways of doing it: smoking and deep frying, and mine's the brown paper bag.
In the brown bag. What's the temperature on that?
450.
450. In about 2 hours,
two
really?
2 hours. 2 hours. No basting. Put it in the bag. Baste it in the beginning, and then.
Do you season?
Roughly,
do you put anything on it?
I put honey and frozen orange juice concentrate all over it.
Wow. And what roughly is the size you're dealing with?
Oh, probably around 18 pounds.
Okay, yep. Okay. So you reduce your time accordingly.
No, 450 for...
For any turkey? Now, is there stuffing?
The bottom line is it creates convection.
Is there stuffing?
And that is why it works.
Stuffing in the thing, too? You have stuffing in it?
No.
No, okay.
I do stuffing separately. No.
All right, well, that's really interesting.
Yes, people think I'm nuts, but it works. So.
Maybe people will try it after hearing about
it. That's right.
You should send
it.
Started
you.
Something.
Your mom heard about it on the subway.
On the subway.
It worked for you for 70 years. So that's just
a great family story. Yep.
All right. Thank you very much. This has been the Thanksgiving. No, we'll call it the Thanksgiving episode of What's Going On Out There, Ruth, with Ruth Epstein, Robin Hood Radio's rambling, roaming, roving, adventurous, intrepid, etc. reporter on Robin Hood Radio.